Welcome to Ghost Biz here on Nova 103.5, where we talk to the finance ghost, who, despite traveling the world at the moment, is still able to bring us up to date with what's going on in the world of finance, especially here in Southern Africa. Ghost, let's perhaps start out with Alex Forbes, a brand I think many of us know and certainly very active here in Namibia as well. Not always entirely familiar with exactly what their product range is, but they've released results that are, to be frank, very, very good. And they've also announced a very decent nearly 20% increase in dividend to what amounts to around about an 8% dividend yield, which for that particular sector is a very good dividend indeed. Tell us more about what's going on at Alex Forbes.
Hi, Gary. Yes, I'm not sure about traveling the world, but I'm in London at the moment, which I'm really enjoying. It's quite a lot prettier than I expected in the outskirts. I'm not sure why I thought it was an urban sprawl, but it's actually very much this village-to-village style living, staying with a good friend of mine in a beautiful home here. And there's an Arsenal footballer a few doors down because the Arsenal training ground is close by. So yeah, this is obviously a very specific view on London, but it is beautiful and quite an experience. And off to watch Lamar this coming weekend, which, you know, for a petrol head like me, that's my all-time bucket list item. So very exciting. But yes, to your point, need to stay on top of what's going on in the markets, of course. The show must go on, including this one. So over at Alex Forbes, look, it's been a hectic couple of years. I think it's not surprising to say, you know, it's kind of hard to know what the product range is because it's also changed a lot. They've actually become quite a focused financial services group. I think for a long time, they were trying to do too many different things. And strategically, they've decided to actually rather build out the business they really want. So they've made six acquisitions in the past 3 years. This includes Outvest, a business called TSA Administration. Those two have been highlighted as doing really well at the moment. Obviously, when you're making that many acquisitions, not every single one is going to work. So they had to recognize an impairment on EBS International, for example. But the bigger thing to remember is when you get acquisitions like these, that really does skew your year-on-year growth rates. So, you know, you get something like operating income up 12%, but that includes acquisitions. Operating expenses up 16%. Unfortunately, that also includes acquisitions. And the cost to income ratio, that has moved slightly higher, which is obviously not what you want to see. But a lot of that is just this period of corporate activity and integration expenses. And, you know, Alex Forbes will look to improve this over time. So the actual profit from operations was up just 2% because of the expenses being faster than revenue growth. But investment income actually then went in and saved the day, which is why headline earnings per share from continuing operations is up 16%. On a normalized basis, HEPS was up 31%. So that's what's driving the decision to increase the total annual dividend so strongly. And they've also added on a special dividend as well. So, you know, the share price has rallied quite strongly in response to that. Obviously, the market loves to see this kind of thing. But I think the market also enjoys seeing some corporate discipline coming through. It's easy to just keep doing acquisitions, but I think when a group combines acquisitions with a special dividend, it sends a good message to the market.
Of course, while the financial industries will always be with us, so too will the food industries. And a good set of half-year results released by Oceana. We're often reading stories about overfishing, the dangers of overfishing, and the plight of often many of these companies that are exposed to the fishing industry, which is, of course, sometimes quite volatile. But Oceana seemed to have released a very good set of half-year results, and it's not just Lucky Star, which, of course, we're all familiar with. There's a couple of other units in there making good money. Tell us more about what's going on there.
Oceana is an interesting group for sure, and, you know, they basically are fishing at scale. So, you know, people joke about, oh, the fish weren't biting today. It's one thing when you're on holiday and you've decided to just take a boat out. But, you know, when this is your livelihood at scale, it's another problem altogether. And those issues that small-scale fishermen face are not any different at Oceana, basically, which is why they diversify their operations. They try and catch all kinds of different things. And they also do it in different places. And so what you tend to find at Oceana is that the divisional performance jumps around year on year. But then the group performance is hopefully a little bit smoother. Although even then, the group performance tends to be volatile as well. Oceana has now reported numbers for the 6 months to March, and they do look strong. You know, revenue up 12.1%, operating profit up 57.1%, headline earnings per share 84.6%. So there's that volatility coming through when you see growth rates like these. The interim dividend up by a juicy 50%. But to your point, it's not just Lucky Star. You know, we've had a couple of periods in the past couple of years where Lucky Star really has, you know, been a strong contributor here. And although they did well, this is not to say that Lucky started badly. They didn't. They did fine. But Daybrook in the US really came through as the star of the show here, reporting record earnings. And that's because they had great inventory levels coming into this period. And so with record prices for fish oil, they were actually able to properly take advantage of that. Gross margin went up by 700 basis points, which was also really, really helpful. And, you know, that combined with limited overheads growth actually drove this wonderful increase in headline earnings per share. It wasn't all great news. Their wild caught seafood business had a big drop in operating profit. So that's another example of just how volatile this space is. But luckily in this case, you know, that drop wasn't enough to offset a really great period.
Lastly, Ghost, I know you're traveling, so we won't hold you up too much. We've spoken previously about RCL deciding to unbundle Rainbow as a separate asset. We would be familiar in Namibia with Rainbow as a chicken provider of different goods and services, and they have quite an integrated value chain as well with other businesses in that environment. They've released their pre-listing numbers. Chicken is massively volatile, but when it goes well, it makes stupid money, and when it goes tough, they sort of contributing back to their suppliers often. What do you make of Rainbow's pre-listing numbers?
Yes, it's going to be good to have another listed company. You know, although Rainbow Chicken is part of RCL Foods right now, and so technically you can go and get exposure to it. You know, the reality is you have to buy RCL Foods, so you have to take exposure to more than just Rainbow Chicken. So I personally quite enjoy it when I see these groups sort of breaking up into different opportunities. It's just good for the market. You know, it just gives us more to look at in detail. And in this case, Rainbow Chicken doesn't really belong with the rest of RCL Foods. It's not a natural kind of diversification. It just makes things more difficult for shareholders in RCL Foods because a number of them wouldn't want exposure to chicken. And if you go and have a look at their pre-listing statement and the numbers there, you know, to your point, in a good year, it's really great. And in a bad year, it's awful. And this is only a specific type of investor is looking for that kind of exposure. And often it's quite short-term punters, I think, as well. Whereas in RCL Foods, the rest of the business, it is a little bit more steady. I mean, so to give an idea, if you go and look in the pre-listing statement for Rainbow Chicken, in the 2021 financial year, they made an operating loss of 209 million. The following year, they made a profit of 81 million. And in 2023, they made a loss of 229 million. So obviously, over those 3 years, it looks terrible. The losses are just gigantic. That's not a reflection of how the business performs over the long term. They've had to deal with avian flu. They've had to deal with load shedding. They've had to deal with all the craziness around what's happened to consumer spending in the aftermath of the pandemic and high interest rates and all of these other things. Plus, of course, all the supply chain kind of volatility and how this affects commodity prices. I mean, it really has been just a crazy time for Rainbow. But RCL is basically giving those shares to shareholders. They're unbundling it. They're not trying to sell the shares to anyone. So it's not the end of the world that it's been a tough period. If this company was coming to list with numbers like these for the first time and hoping to raise capital, I think it would be a very, very different conversation. In this case, they are just setting these birds free, literally, and shareholders will then be able to form a view on Rainbow as a separate business. It won't be the only poultry play on the JSE. We have a few of them already. So it's going to be pretty interesting now to compare the performance going forward at a group like Rainbow to some of the others we already have on the JSE, like Astral, for example.
All right, Ghost, we'll let you get on with your ghosting. And thank you very much for chatting to us. We'll chat to you again next week here on Ghost Biz.